I know this is a fashion faux pas. Just so that you know. Sarah is not responsible for this. As far as she's concerned, Pat made me do it. I really bear the responsibility. I have several Christmas ties, and throughout the Christmas season, I like to wear a tie that re-emphasizes and reinforces the content of the message preached. And because the kids are wearing their Christmas sweaters, and Sarah is wearing a sweater, and I'm wearing a sweater, I pulled the tie out from the sweater so that it could be seen. I want you, and that is not the reason why I say this, but I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Don't fall asleep, and no peeking. Okay? Close your eyes. Okay, I'm watching. You should not be. I want you to imagine Santa Claus. I want you to picture him in his red coat, his white hair. He loves children. He knows when they're sleeping. He knows when they're awake. He knows if they've been bad or good. And he gives gifts and presents to those on the nice list. And keep your eyes closed. Now I want you to remember the movie, The Polar Express. Not the book, the movie. Okay? The scene in the film is three kids wandering around Santa's village. They come to Santa's headquarters, the central control room, if it were. There is a large jumbotron with dozens of monitors on either side, each hanging above this huge, partially exposed globe in the center of the room. Several elves are tying up the final loose ends on all the details of Christmas. When the klaxon alarm blares and the naughty light illuminates, the globe spins, showing a blinking red light near New Jersey, a kid in Maplewood stuck gum in his sister's hair. And they ask the chief elf, "What do we do? What should we do?" And he picks up the direct line to Santa Claus, the candy cane phone. As he's watching young Stephen deny the transgression, "I didn't do it, I didn't do it." And he sighs, and he puts the phone down, and he forgives Stephen, saying, "It's almost Christmas. We'll cut the kid a break this year, but put him on the check twice list for next year." Now keep your eyes closed. I want you to imagine Jesus now. What's he like? Isaiah 63:2 says, "Why is your apparel red and your garments like his who tread in the winepress?" Speaking of the rider on the white horse, in Revelation 19:13, John says, "He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." Santa wears red, and Jesus wears red. Daniel 7:9 says, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. The hair on his head was like pure wool." John describes the Son of Man in Revelation 1:14, saying the hair on his head was white wool, like snow. Santa has white hair. So does Jesus. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Santa loves children. Jesus loves children. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." Revelation 20:11 says, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Santa has a naughty nice list, and he knows who's on which. Jesus has a list, and he knows whose names are written on it. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Santa forgives, and so does Jesus. You may open your eyes. Now, I don't want you to crucify me for lazy or errant interpretation. I know that the color of Jesus' hair and clothes in Daniel and Revelation are symbolic. My goal with that introduction was to demonstrate an easy way to steer a Christmas conversation to Jesus and to introduce my Christmas Eve day Thanksgiving, thanking God for forgiveness. In English, to forgive means to give up resentment of, to grant relief from payment of. The primary word in the Greek means to release or to free from an obligation, guilt, or punishment. So Jesus teaches us to pray, Father, forgive us our debts because we owe a debt of punishment for sinning against God. Likewise, we must release others from the guilt and punishment of sinning against us. Now we're finishing our Bible reading with Romans this year. And in Romans, Paul has a lot to say about sin and forgiveness, but he calls it justification. It's a legal standing before God. Specifically, it is my legal status before God's law. Now, our text this morning is part of John's account of the birth of Christ in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bore witness about him, and he cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." This is what Paul says about people, the law, and God in Romans 2:13. "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." Then Paul says, "By works of law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin," Romans 3:20. And you remember from our text that the law was given through Moses. Why? So that you and I would know what sin is. For, says Paul in Romans 7:7, "I would have not known what it is to covet had the law not said, 'You shall not covet.'" So I have to do the law to be justified, but it is not the law that justifies me. Why? Because Paul says, Romans 3:21, "The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction." No distinction between what? No, this part of this verse confused me for a long, long time. There's no distinction. The Greek is unclear here. The NASB has the "no distinction" as being part of verse 22. So it says that there is no distinction regarding how men are to be saved. Jew and Gentile will be saved upon the condition of faith. Now the ESV, which we've been reading all year, has no distinction with verse 23. Okay? "There's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of God." This says that there's no distinction concerning the need for justification. Both the Jew and the Gentile need forgiveness, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Again, the Greek is unclear here, so perhaps God is trying to emphasize that it doesn't matter who you are. You are only forgiven one way. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And by grace you are saved. Through faith in Christ Jesus, believing him, and it is not of yourself. Salvation by grace through faithful steadfastness to what Christ says. Because you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is a gift from God. I am not forgiven because of my merit or any merit of the law. I can never be good enough to earn forgiveness. according to the law. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, says no one is good except God alone. I cannot be saved. My sins cannot be forgiven based on doing the law. They may only be forgiven based on grace. Why? Because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I cannot earn it. The only way my sins are not held against me is if someone gives me what I don't deserve. But who can do it? Who has the power? Who has the wherewithal? Who has the love to bestow a gift that I so desperately need but can never attain? You can't do it for me no matter how much you want to. You're in the same predicament I am. Only a truly righteous person living under the same law as I do but not indebted to the lawgiver can pay my debt for me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus of Nazareth is the righteous one who may give me the forgiveness that I need to live eternally. He is the way and the truth and the life. And I may be adopted as God's child by no other way that pays. I'm not as old as you, and some of you are not as old as me. But in all my years, I have never not gotten a Christmas gift. Santa's always forgiven me. He's brought me a present no matter how bad. This is where the likeness of Santa and Jesus diverge. You see, it's not enough to simply hear of the forgiveness by faith in Christ. The doers of the law will be justified and counted righteous before God. What law then, if God's law can't save? The law of grace. The law of grace. The law of grace says, believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. Do according to all he has commanded. He has commanded repentance. He has commanded humility. For if any would come after him, they must first deny themselves, taking up their cross and following him. So he's also commanded obedience and allegiance. He's commanded for all who believe, to be baptized for forgiveness, to receive his Spirit, to live in them. There are many other things that he has commanded. And he's commanded that you and I spend the rest of our lives learning them and doing them in his service. For he is our King and our Lord. But we will not be forgiven, and our names will not be written in the land in the Lamb's Book of Life unless we obey his gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So I am thankful. I'm thankful for Santa Claus this Christmas, because he reminds me of Christ. And he helps me preach the gospel wherever I go. But I am most grateful for the forgiveness that I have by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let us go. And let's do the sermon by bringing the good news of great joy to all people, telling them of the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord God, in the highest, and earth peace among us, with hope.